Good morning.
Good morning. It is great to be with all of you. If this is your first time here, we are thrilled to have you with us. And we are in the season of Advent that comprises the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. How many of you are excited about Christmas? Anyone as excited as Buddy? Right? And if that scene played out a little further, he says, "I know him." And I love that. My son is 2 years old, and we have been watching that more times in the last 2 weeks than I think I've seen in all my years put together. He loves it. And if you've been with us through this Advent series, it's a word derived from Latin, meaning coming or arrival. It's a season of remembrance of what Christ did in his first coming at Christmas and anticipation of the day he will return and make all things new, including us. Week one of this series was a message of hope, and last week we focused on a message of love, and today we're focusing on a message of joy. And when I thought about that, my first question was, what is joy? What is joy? It can be hard to define. I dug into it a little, and I came across some helpful thoughts that attempt to identify joy by comparing it to happiness, and the general thought being that joy is different from happiness. Some of you may have heard some of these. Happiness is based on circumstance. Joy is deeper and stronger. Happiness is smiling on a sunny day, while joy is dancing in the rain. Happiness is transient, while joy is permanent. And I thought, if I just take these words of joy and I put them all together, what it just told me is that joy is a strong dance in the rain that never ends. And that just sounded weird and not helpful. And I thought, all right, I need to go somewhere else. So I Googled joy, but I did it through images. Maybe it's easier to see. And this is what I got: jumping. More jumping. More jumping. I'm telling you, this is the first images on joy. Another jumping. Another jumping. Snoopy dancing. And then joy from inside out. Right? Which, this doesn't really define anything, but it begins to paint a picture. Have you ever met someone that's truly joyful? They're remarkable, aren't they? Doesn't matter what comes their way, what circumstances are in their life, they seem to have something that keeps them positive and have a sense of peace and pleasantness about them no matter what. And some of you may look at that and go, what? What do they have? What is so unique? Because if I'm honest in my own life, I don't feel like I have joy a lot. I feel more like Alexander, who had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, right? And some of you who are in finals week, you may be saying, yeah, that I'm writing that book right now. But what if it weren't so complicated? What if there was a straightforward way to experiencing and having joy in your life? Would you want it? Would you pursue it? Because I believe the Bible offers the way. And as I dug into the scriptures and studied this out, I realized that my own definition of joy needed some changing, needed some editing. And to be honest, this is good. This message has been transforming my mind and my ways over the past several weeks, and I can tell you that I'm filled with more joy in the midst of challenging circumstances right now than ever before. And I pray that your understanding of joy today becomes deeper, and I pray that you experience joy like never before in this Christmas season. And to that end, I want to pray before we begin. Lord, I thank you for your word that tells us and instructs us in this. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to all of us afresh today what joy is and how we can have it. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be here, that you would move in our midst. Lord, we want to hear from you, from your word. Lord, if anything is not of you, let it fall to the ground and let your words remain in our heart so they form us and change us, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 2, or you can just follow along on the screens. If you don't own a Bible, we'd love for you to have one. Consider it a Christmas gift, an early one. At the Info Center, you can grab one before you leave. And the build-up to this story goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, the scripture that was read, Isaiah, 700 years before, and in Isaiah 35, he says, "He is coming to save you." The he that this passage speaks of is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, God himself coming to save. And the Gospel of Luke, the beginning of it, is writing the fulfillment of that, explaining how the Savior has come to save. Chapter 1 gives you all the details about angels speaking to Mary and Joseph and how Mary, though a virgin, was going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and become with child. and that she would give birth to this coming Savior King, God himself. Chapter 2 begins and reveals that there's a Roman Emperor Augustus who has decreed a census that everyone should be in his Roman Empire counted. And because Joseph was a descendant of David, he and Mary had to travel to the ancient home of David in Bethlehem of Judea. And while they were there, it picks up in verse 6, it says, while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. He who Isaiah said was coming to save was born. The long-awaited king has come. The night that God became human and made his home among us. And that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And what you need to know about shepherds is they were despised by the Orthodox good people of the day. The flocks of sheep that they had so many constant demands on them that they couldn't keep the details of God's law. They couldn't observe the meticulous hand washing and rules and regulations. They were, by the very nature of as shepherds, falling short in the eyes of the religious leaders. They were not rich or noble or men of esteem. They were simple men of the fields, guarding their flocks of sheep. When suddenly, that's my sound for angels appearing. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. God could have gone to anyone. He could have gone to the king of the land or the high priest or the religious leaders, a wealthy business owner, someone, anyone of nobility or significance, but he didn't. He chose to go to the shepherds who were at or near the bottom of society. And what's awesome is God constantly chooses the humble and the lowly to confound the wise. And here, among shepherds, his angel stands. It's a foreshadowing of how Jesus himself will choose to stand with the hurting and oppressed, the lowly, the broken, the abjected, dejected, and despised. That he himself will be humble. And think about this. When I had my first child, I tweeted it. Actually, I didn't. I don't have Twitter. I emailed it out. I Facebooked it. I messaged people. And if you're someone of nobility, like Prince William or Kate, right? When their child came, the whole world went nuts with the news. And yet this is God, the creator of everything. His son has just been born a human. He has taken on human flesh. And who does he go to? Small band of shepherds in a field nearby. And I love this. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. The scene is so powerful because it's not just a guy walking into the camp amidst a flock of sheep. It's this boom, he's there. He wasn't there, and then he's there. Instant glow, blinding, all-encompassing light. And mind you, this was back in the day when there were no light bulbs. There was no artificial light. All they had for a concept of light at night were fires or lamps. So an angel showing up and just radiating light, pretty freaky. And that's exactly the response. And my children's book that we have at home depicts this really well. They're terrified. And if you can see, I love the little sheep on the right. Even the sheep is terrified looking at this. But the angel, it says, reassured them. And he said, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And there it is, joy. Not just joy, great joy. And when I came to this verse several weeks ago, and I was praying and thinking about it, it stopped me in my tracks. Because only then, seeing the word joy in this story, that I thought, what is the biblical definition of joy? In all my years of studying, I've never asked that. I would go searching for verses that talked of joy. I want to know, how do you have it? What is this? But it never dawned on me to ask, what is the biblical definition of joy? And the definition that I found has been changing my understanding. It's been transforming my mind, my heart. The biblical definition of joy is grace recognized. If you look up the word joy, it literally means grace recognized. It means specifically an awareness of God's grace in your life. You recognize his grace and you receive his joy. Simple, recognize and receive. You recognize the grace of his presence in your life and you receive, which is exactly what the angels were explaining. When they introduced it, they said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The good news is the grace that Jesus has come, the Savior has come. And when you recognize that, it brings you good, or it brings you great joy. And what's awesome, it says for some people. No, it doesn't. It says all people. It's for everyone in the room, for all of us, for all people on earth. This is the good news. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. So he has said this is the good news, and it's going to bring great joy to all people. But he's saying to the shepherds specifically, tonight, this has happened. This grace has come, and you can recognize it. And here's how. Knowing that if they recognize it, they're going to be filled with joy. Will you recognize God's grace in your life? His grace has come. Will you go and recognize his grace and receive his joy and experience it? And he's saying this to the shepherds, and what's awesome is right after this, it says, suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. The armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. The armies of heaven, they've just returned. They were angels. In his presence. And I love this picture, the artist that I used already of the little shepherd boy. His name is Dennis Jones. This is his illustration of all these angels showing up. And he says, when I was growing up, one of the things that always bugged me was the way an angel looked in the children's Bible. A frail little fellow walking around in his mom's white bed sheet, sporting a 1970s Farrah Fawcett hairdo. He says, I had no idea what an angel actually looked like, but surely not that. Which is why, without proper adult supervision, my angels always turn out looking something like this. Strong, fierce warriors who were in the very presence of God, and they declare glory to God in the highest. The message came from God. His son is born, and the angels are returning to God. All their strength comes from him. All their authority comes from him. All their power. You know what else comes from his presence, being in his presence? There's a passage in the Old Testament when I was studying this. It's fascinating. There's King David. He has the Ark of the Covenant. It's been missing. And he's going to bring it into the city of Jerusalem. And as he does, he is dancing crazily, wildly before it. He has the Levites leading the people in worship and praise to God. And it's in 1 Chronicles 16. And then he gives Asaph and a fellow Levites a song to sing. And one of my takeaways for you this week is to read 1 Chronicles 16. Read this song that David wrote. It is so beautiful. And in there it says, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. You know what that means? If you're in the presence of God, you can't help but recognize God's grace. It surrounds him. His grace is there for all to see. You don't have to be forced to. It's just there. If you're in the presence of God, you have strength and joy because of his grace. And the word, what's awesome is when you look at this is his dwelling place. We know that in the New Testament, Christ has come. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And all who recognize his grace and receive him into our lives, he comes and doesn't just dwell on earth. He dwells in us. And the same thing that is in the heavens, strength and joy become ours in our heart because God lives with us. And this word joy in this passage in 1 Chronicles 16, that word is only used one other time in the Old Testament. And it's after they've been taken away. They've been captives under the Assyrians and Babylonians, and they return, and Nehemiah helps them build the walls and build up their houses. And after all of that, he begins to read the law to the people. He has them all gather, and he's reading the law, which they haven't probably been able to hear for years in this way, reading the whole thing in Jerusalem, in the very city they had been taken away from. And what's so awesome is as he's reading through this, the people begin to weep because they realize how far they've drifted from his law. And they're mourning, they're weeping, and he says, stop it. This is a great day. God's grace has brought us back. We are in the land. This is not a day to mourn. And Nehemiah tells them, go and celebrate with feasts of rich food and sweet drink and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day for the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah is saying, look at the grace we've received. It doesn't matter that there's stronger nations around us. He is with us. He is here. Let that be the joy, and let that be the strength in your life. You need to recognize and receive God's grace, and you will have great joy. Do you recognize the grace of God in your life? Your joy depends on it. Your strength depends on it. The more you recognize the grace of God in your life, the more joy you will have, the more strength you will find. But if you're anything like me, you can miss it. A few weeks ago, when I was studying this, and I came to this realization, I was at a point where life is pretty hard. We got a lot of stuff happening on the home front. We're helping out with a lot of different things. Work has been just crazy. It's that crazy time of year. Tons of stuff happening, tons of conversations, meetings. Stress was building up, and I had a full day. I need to go to meetings, and I woke up early because I was like, I need time with God. I've got to start my day. I got to get this stuff off my chest. So I was like, I'll go to County Farm Park, and I'm going to walk through the woods. I'm just going to get stuff off my chest. And I thought, 10 minutes. My 10-minute walk turned to 20, to 30, to 40. I'm walking all the way around this park in the woods. And I'm telling you, as I got to around the 20, 30-minute mark, something happened. I'm getting all this stuff off. I'm my frustrations and the intensity, and this came back to my mind. And I just felt God say, are you recognizing my grace in your life? And I wasn't. So I just stopped and I started saying, where is his grace in my life? I have an amazing wife. I have two awesome kids. I have a job. My wife has a job. We have a house with a roof over us. We have a fridge full of food. We have multiple cars. We live in a country of total freedoms where we can gather like this and worship. And the list just kept going and going. And when I compare what I have, though not rich in this country, I am so wealthy compared to the masses of the world. And I have so much that they don't have. And the grace of God overwhelmed me. And it led me to the last 10 minutes, all the way back as the sun was rising. I could do nothing but praise and worship God. Everything transformed when I recognized the grace that he had in my life, and I received his joy, and I was filled up. It was overwhelming, kind of like if you take a pump of water. You know how you sometimes have to keep cranking it before the water comes? Anyone? Or you just turn your faucet on at home. All right, if you've ever used the water pump, you got to crank it to get it up, and sometimes that's what it's like. You need to start saying, where's the grace of God in my life? Start cranking the pump because it's there. And joy is going to fill you up. And when it comes out, you have nothing left but to praise and worship God. It is powerful. I ask that you do that. That's your second take home. Will you take time, whether you write it down or say it out loud, where is God's grace in your life? No matter what's going on, because it's there. And I tell you, I'm convinced that those who are most joyful in this life have intentionally built this habit or subconsciously made the practice of seeing the grace in their life, and it's constantly bubbling up. A lot of people look at them, oh, they're just optimistic. No, they're not. They actually see reality, but they also see God's grace in the midst of it. You want joy, recognize his grace in your life. It will transform you. And this is what happened with the shepherds. If we go back to Luke 2, They said, go recognize. And it says, after the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And I just love that. These are shepherds. They've just been told God was born. The Savior has come. And how did they define it? This thing. So simple. This is not a high priest or some educated person who's going to go into explaining what has happened. No, just this thing. This thing has happened. Let's go check it out. And I love that because that's what God wants for us. It's so simple. His grace is amazing. It's indescribable, but it's so simple. Just accept it. Just receive it. Recognize it. And so they hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph. I'm ending with this Dennis Jones artwork again. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. Everyone was amazed. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to the flocks. So they've been told about grace. They went and recognized it as the angel said. They were so filled up with joy that they had to tell people. And all the way back, it says the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had said. Glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. Glorify is properly to ascribe weight by recognizing real substance and acknowledging God in his true character. The Christmas story is awesome. It is the grace of God to all humanity. And when we recognize that grace, we receive his joy in this season. But Advent is not just looking back, it's also looking ahead. Looking ahead to when his return comes or when we can be fully with him in his presence. And this is my other homework for you, is to take the amazing grace that John Newton penned. Take time to listen to it. Let it soak into your life this week. And I'm just going to read through it. And I want you to hear this. If you need to shut your eyes or you want to quietly say it to yourself, listen to God's amazing grace, because this song, this penned poem turned into worship, looks back at our own grace when we receive and what that's like, and it leads us to look at the grace we all have coming. It says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. You will be in the presence of God where strength and joy surround him. When we've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we've first begun. And I think it's so powerful that that last image, that when he comes again or when we go to him, if we die, we will constantly be in his presence of joy and strength, and it will be leading us to worship him, and we'll have no less days to ever stop worshiping him. And that beginning clip of Buddy the Elf, he was excited in anticipation of Santa, and I hope we have that same excitement in anticipation of Jesus and his coming. Buddy yelled out, tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., he says, I know him! I know him! And I hope when we look at the Christmas story, we respond with that anticipation. I know him. I know him, and it's made all the difference. Do you know him? Do you know the gracious and loving God who took on humanity, who lived for you, who died for you on the cross to take away your sins and give you true life? Have you recognized his amazing gift of grace? If you haven't, I ask that you do that today. Would you recognize his grace and receive him today? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it goes on to say, he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. It's just as Isaiah said. The Savior has come. The King is here. Will you recognize his grace for your life and for all of us? Can we begin to recognize his grace in the midst of our life at all times? Because as we do, we receive his presence. We receive his joy. And it is incredible. It will transform your life. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your joy. I thank you for your amazing grace, God, that you sent your Son, Father, that you, Jesus, took on humanity, that you left everything for the sake of us. Lord, you love us, and you are good. And I pray that no matter what's going on in our lives, Lord, that we remember to recognize your grace, receive your presence, and experience your joy. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.